Good morning. Grace and peace to you as we gather together in the name of the living Christ to worship God today. Surely God is with us in this virtual place and calls us to worship together in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. God of love, be with us this day as we gather to encounter your word and your way for us. Remind us that we can place our trust in your eternal love. Enable us to be more effective in our witness to that love by word and deed. Guide our steps and pick us up when we falter. Dust us off and place us on the pathways of grace and service. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship space this morning at Parma Christian Church. We are glad to have you worshiping with us. There are two items I want to remind you of today. The first is communion. We will celebrate communion with each other towards the end of our service today. So I invite you to bring whatever you may have, crackers, juice, to your table so that you might celebrate communion with us. The second is offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, and you may use our online giving tool called Givelify, or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Or you can go to our website, www.parmachristianchurch.org, and find the information there. Today, our scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. It actually picks up where we left off from last week. So in today's scripture, Paul instructs us on how we are to love each other. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I think I forgot to tell you that that's from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. So our scripture's focus today is on ethics, morals, virtues to live by. Indeed, at this point in his letter, Paul writes down rules for Christians to follow in order to live out our lives as Christians. But this list is more than just a list of rules to check off on a daily to-do list. It's more than just a list of do this and don't do that. It's a code of ethics for us to embody as a part of who we are in our everyday life. It's about being genuine, both as a person and as a follower of Christ. It's about how we as Christians relate to the people around us every single day, both those people who are Christians and those who are not. For when we claim the name Christian, our lives should be changed. Who we are and how we live in the world every day should reflect our beliefs, our love for God, and God's love for us. When Reverend Betty Meadows was the general presbyter of the Mid-Kentucky Presbytery at the Presbyterian Church, she took a 3-month sabbatical. And during her time away from her day-to-day ministerial job, she decided to focus on the question, how does Sunday faith translate to the rest of the week? You know, not just work, but family, neighborhood, and community. She wanted to know how we take what we learn on a Sunday morning in church and Sunday school and translate it to the rest of our lives so that as we live our life of faith, people can say, she's a Christian. She wrote about this in an article and she said, I realized I'm 24/7 church. At work, play, even my bridge club, it was all church people. If I was going to be a legitimate leader, I needed to get out of my Christian point of view. So for 3 months, unbeknownst to her coworkers, Meadows worked as a waitress and a hostess at a Waffle House. Every day in that Waffle House, the risen Christ was present. I was so profoundly moved by constant acts of kindness and compassion and God's love, stranger to stranger, friend to friend, co-worker to customer. And she goes on to tell the story. A van broke down in the parking lot of the Waffle House on the 4th of July, carrying a family from Alabama. No garage or mechanic could be found. A waitress heard of their plight and called her boyfriend. He arrived in 15 minutes and fixed the van, all for the price of a cup of coffee. In such situations, Meadows says, Christians should learn that we don't have a hold on the gospel. The gospel, like Jesus in the Bible, is out there in front of us, beckoning us to follow. Faith is not within the walls of the church. It's not contained within the building. As Christians, we are called into the church to be formed as disciples, but then we are called to go back out into the world, to where we work, to our schools, to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to City Hall, to be the witnesses and conduits of the risen Christ. So as I read about her experience, that last sentence really struck me. We are called into the church to be formed as disciples. It is at church that we hear the good news each week. It is where we feast together at the Lord's table. It is where we can study and learn about God's love for us. But that's not all that it is to mean to be a Christian. It's more than that. You're not a Christian just because you go to church on a Sunday morning. It is when we are called back out into the world, back to our daily lives, that is where we are witnesses to the risen Christ. Our lives, our actions, our words, our work, all of that is a witness to the risen Christ. Paul knew this. He understood this. Paul understood, that when others know we are Christians, they watch us to see how we live out our faith. And how we act and live in the world will affect whether or not they want to be Christians too. They watch us, not just on Sundays, not how we are when we're just in the building, but every single day of our life. That's a pretty tall order. And since we are human, we know we're not perfect. And we're going to make mistakes. And that's where we get to thank God for the grace and forgiveness that is given to us through Christ. But we should never, ever use that as an excuse for why we do things. We should always strive to live out our faith daily in all that we do. Here's another story. There's a story that's fairly old, and it's about a young man who was in the army. He was a Christian, and he had formed the habit of praying beside his bed every night before he went to sleep. And he kept up this practice in the army. But of course, he became an object of mockery and ridicule inside the barracks. One night, he knelt down to pray after a long and weary march, and as he was praying, one of the tormentors in his group took off his muddy boots and just threw them at him. One at a time, and each time, the guy had accurate aim, hit him right square in the head. The Christian said nothing about it, just took the boots and put them beside the bed and continued to pray. But the next morning, when the other man woke up, he found his boots sitting beside his bed, and they were all shined and polished, ready to go. And it so broke his heart that he came to the young man and asked him for forgiveness. That led, after a time, to that man becoming a Christian. This is what Paul means when he says, "You overcome evil with good." That is an example of how living as a Christian can bring others to the faith. Now, here's an example of how not to follow the advice in Paul's letter, and how not following the advice in Paul's letter can lead others to turn away from Christianity. It's a story about a young lady named Stacia, and she was one of those kids who grew up in the church. Her family was always there, and she had a record of perfect attendance at youth group, choir practice, Sunday school, everything. She loved God, she adored church, she loved her youth group. But when she entered the ninth grade, she went through some really tough times because the school zoning in her town changed. She went to high school without any of her friends that she'd gone to school with from first grade through eighth grade. All of her friends were at the other high school, but her family lived just outside of the line-changing zone, and she had to go somewhere else. She was scared, but she went to school, she started making new friends, and everything was great. Here's a little more about that. Because most of the cliques were already established, and she was shy, she ended up making friends with those kids who were on the fringe group. They were not bad. They were just not popular, or they were not athletic. They were just the ones who were kind of on the outside of the friend group. But they accepted her willingly into their group, and it gave her a sense of belonging, and they were not bad kids. And the natural thing for her to do was to introduce them to her church family. So she brought them to youth group with her. And they had a great time, or so she thought. A week later, she came to church and she started to receive the cold shoulder treatment from all of her former friends. And when she asked what was wrong, her church friends informed her that they didn't approve of her new school friends. And furthermore, they were not sure she knew what it meant to be a Christian if she was going to hang out with those kinds of people. She was absolutely devastated and humiliated. And she didn't know what they meant because they were fine people. They just didn't look like her church friends. They didn't act like her church friends. And she never went back to church again. And now, this is a true story, she's in her 50s. She still loves God, but she wants nothing to do with the church. And she still can't talk about it without crying. And we wonder why we have no young people in our churches anymore. It's a sad, sad story. I've heard other young adults ask, when asked why they don't go to church, say it's because Christians are nothing but judgmental hypocrites. Sad but true. And yes, in some ways, Christians can be very hypocritical. But that's because we're not perfect. We are human. And that's where we get to thank God for God's grace and mercy. But if we don't learn from our judgmental ways and realize that everyone is a child of God, and everyone, no matter who they are, race, color, creed, sexuality, it doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome in God's house. If we don't practice that in our daily lives, if we don't love everyone, if we don't realize that Black lives matter, then we are a reason and a hindrance to Christianity and to people deciding not to be a part of our faith. We should remind us, we should always be reminded that we should strive to live as Paul advises. We should let our love be genuine. We should love one another with mutual affection. We should be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. We should rejoice in hope, extend hospitality to strangers, especially those who do not look and act like us. And we should even bless those who persecute us. It's not an easy ethical list to live by. It is hard to love our enemies. It is hard to love those who don't live and look just like we do. But we should try. We should try. Reverend Meadows' experience in the Waffle House reminds us of how we are called to be Christians to those around us. She said, "I know my experience at the Waffle House, and I know from my experience at the Waffle House that I am now able to see, really see people who were invisible to me. And no person, even the ones with bright pink hair and filthy clothes and multiple piercings and dozens of tattoos and no money, should be invisible to we who profess the risen Christ. I would add to that list, no one is invisible and should be invisible to those of us who profess Christ. No one. Jesus taught us about how to witness in the world and then said, let those who have eyes to see and those who have ears to hear, hear. Let us be who we profess to be in this world. Amen.